You say so. Oh, man. Well, well, well. Y'all have a good evening? Did you get your nap in? Hallelujah. I got mine in, y'all didn't. And I slept hard, too. I reckon it was hard. That's what some people said. If you, but oh me, well, I got one verse of scripture I want to read over here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. I don't think I've preached this before, but if I have, this will be worth preaching again. I know it won't come out the same way, so, but the title of it, If It Wasn't For The Lord. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would we be if it wasn't for the Lord? Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. Then I'm going to turn back over to Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 4 there. But it says right here in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her vessel, with her jewels, In verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown, in it too bring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nation. This morning I want to speak about some things that we would not have if it was not for the Lord. Some things that we would not have. Some things that we would not have ever experienced in our lives if it hasn't been, if it was not for the Lord. And the first one is, if there would be no book, there would be no book to believe in. And I'm talking about the Word of God. We will not have no book to believe in. We will not have no book where God the Father would not be able to speak to us by. Because it's Him that speaks to us as we read His precious Word. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 7 says, then so I, lo, come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. We see right here in Psalms chapter 40, in verses 1, says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us in, to us are to us usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not canceled the loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercy from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evil hath compassed me about. Mine iniquity hath taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to me. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and conformed together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of thy shame, that say unto me, Aiah, Aiah. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. In verse 1 of chapter 41, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his beds in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When I When shall he die? And his name perished. We see right here, here in Psalms chapter 40, in verses down through the what we just read, we see where the Lord Jesus is just waiting to hear from his people. He's waiting to hear us cry out unto him. People today are not crying out for the Lord. They're not crying out for the lost loved ones. They're not crying out for souls to be saved. They're not weeping over that soul. They're not weeping over their brothers, the sisters, the mothers, the fathers, the aunts, the uncles, and the children. They're not on the altar weeping anymore. Why? Because they have waited so long to hear from God, but they don't want to really hear from God because they're not reading the Word of God. They're not reading God's precious book. And God reveals unto them the things that they must do and the things that we must do as individuals. But one of the things that we do have a book to believe in. And we can believe in this book from cover to cover. Like the old black preacher said, we can believe in this book from cover to cover. And even the outside. We can believe everything that's here because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of the living God. It's not just His Word, but it lives within our souls. It teaches us every day. And every day that we walk, it teaches us something anew and something afresh. Just like that verse over in St. John chapter 14 and verse 26. And he says in the latter part of that verse that one day when we come up to something that we do, that we have never faced before, he will always bring back the scripture in remembrance, that we must remember the scripture that we have read, and we will not remember that until the time that we need it. So we must not worry about this. We must not worry about that. We must be worrying about telling people about Jesus. We must be worried about going out in the highways, in the hedges, and inviting people to the house of God. And we must go about. That's one thing I have missed here lately is going out and visiting. I can't go out right now because sometimes I get up in the morning and I can't hardly even walk because I stumble and I'm scared I'm going to fall. And I know I hear that when I go and I walk through the grass or walk through somebody's yard that I do stumble and I will fall. And the Lord says, you just need to take it easy right now. Not only is the Lord telling me that I need to take it easy, but I also believe the Lord is speaking to my wife and speaking to the people here in the church for me just to take it easy for a little while. Because after a little while, I'm going to get my rest. After a little while, my blood's going to be built back up. In a little while, the nerves going to be healed there to where I can go back out. Because it's nothing like going back out and visiting someone that you've never visited before and ask them, do they go to church? And if they don't go to church nowhere, ask them, have they ever been saved? Do they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? But we have the precious book that we can believe in. You cannot find no satisfaction in any other book. We can pick up the Home and Garden, and we can pick up the Southern Living, and we can pick up this, and we can pick up the paper, we can pick up all these other magazines that we have at the house, we can ever pick up this, and we can pick up that, but they will not ever satisfy the soul. The only thing that's going to ever satisfy the soul is the Word of God. That's what's going to satisfy the inner being. That's the reason people today are hungry. They're hungry for the Word. They're hungry for the Word of God.
And because they go to church, they don't hear nothing anymore. They just hear a preacher up there just preaching this and that and everything else. And they don't hear nothing. They don't hear something that will bring conviction to them. They don't hear nothing because the pastor does not love them. I'm going to tell you something. A pastor that loves his flock needs a conviction. Needs a conviction because he needs to have standards by. Just like I said this morning, you need to have standards. You need to have convictions. And we have the right kind of convictions, then we'll have the right kind of standards. But I'll tell you, I'm so glad that we can get in this book, the old King James Bible. We can get in here and we can find some old-fashioned conviction. And we can hear from God where He will teach us and what we need to know for the week that's ahead. And not only do we need to know it, but we also need to go to Him each and every day. And I believe that before we go out in the morning, before we go to work or whatever, or before we go out doing anything for the day, we must always, if we wait until we get in the car, and we can just be by ourselves, nobody there, but us and the Lord in the car. You know, that steering wheel a whole lot of time is my altar there in the automobile, because it's where I can get in touch with God, where I can pray to God, and I don't have to close my eyes and pray to God. I can talk to God any given time. He is there to hear me, and He's there to hear you, but we must give Him time each and every day through our life, that He must have the appropriate time, that He must have our well-being. He must realize that we have surrendered unto Him, and we have said to Him, like Paul has said to Him, that, Lord, I must decrease so You can increase. And what He's saying there, what Paul is saying there, I just want to be back on the back burner. I want to be back here. I don't want to be up front where people can see me. I want people to see You. But not only do we have a book to believe in, we also have the blood that covers our sin, that covers the blackness of our heart. And He can make a heart so clean that it's just as white as the snowflakes fall from heaven. That's how white a heart can be. Why? Because He shed every drop. Every drop of blood He shed that Calvary for me and for you and for you and for me. He's still shedding it today for the individuals that don't know Him. The blood that covered our sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And with thy shedding of blood is no remission. There's no repentance without the blood. There's no coming to Jesus without the blood. Why? Because Jesus cannot do anything for us if He had not shed the blood. Because He Himself could not cover up the blackness of the sin that we have, The only thing that could cover that up was this precious blood. And it was precious. Each drop was precious. Each speck of blood was precious. Why? Because he gave it freely. He gave it up freely. I don't understand that, how an individual like the Son of the Living God could go to Calvary and hang between two thieves and say, Donnie, I'm doing this for you. Sister Nancy, I'm doing it for you. Sister Irma, I'm doing it for you. Brother Bill, I'm doing it for you. Sister Huff, I'm doing it for you. Sister Donna, I'm doing it for you. Sister Julia, I'm doing it for you. Sister Shelby, I'm doing it for you. That's the reason that he could give it up so freely, because he freely loved us first. He loved me when I was out here drinking. He loved me when I was out here doing things that I should not have been doing at that time. But he done it for me. The blood bank of Jesus Christ is the only pure blood that can cover the sin that is among us today. You know, his blood covers the sin. His blood leaves a stain there. His blood leaves a stain upon us as individuals. That he shed so freely. I love him tonight just for that. You know, he could just quit even blessing me from now on until the day I go home. And if he did, I would still have to thank him. Every day. Every day. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, he made him own self to be the sinner, that we may have the righteousness of God. Who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was willing to leave perfection. Jesus left the fellowship of the Father. All the glory there in heaven he left for us. And I thank God for that. Pray for him. I got a couple more and we need to get out. And then we're going to quit. There would be no fellowship if it wasn't for the Lord. There would be no fellowship between me and you. And you and me, if it wasn't for the Lord. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would have never had the opportunity to meet you. You'd have never had the opportunity to meet me if it wasn't for the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. Because I've come to realize and I've come to find out down through the years that each and every church that I went to preach, I've come to find out that I had more family than I really thought I had. Why? There's family everywhere. It's God's family. You know, and it's shame to say, I mean, it's a shame really to say this in a way, certain portions of it. But you know something, we can have more commitment to each other here in the local church as brothers and sisters in the Lord than we can with our brothers and sisters that's here on earth with us. Because see, some of them, sometimes they don't understand us. I've got a brother that don't understand me. Don't understand how I can go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, then be there for preaching and Sunday night and Wednesday night. He didn't understand back when we had the revival that I was here every night. He couldn't understand that. And the reason he couldn't understand it is because he don't know the Lord. People that don't understand, they don't think that they don't know the Lord. If they knew the Lord, they'd have had the experience of knowing God. Then they'd want to be in His house. They'd want to be around the people of God. John, 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." To walk in the light is to live in fellowship with the Father. As long as we're walking right behind Jesus, as long as we're following Him, and then we're in the fellowship of the Father. And we're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. What else do I need? I don't need nothing else. As long as I got the Father, and as long as I got the Son, and as long as I got the Holy Spirit, I don't need nothing else. Oh, yes, we do. I need to have the sweet fellowship with the people of God, to where I can be there strengthened and encouraged by them. We need to encourage one another. Down here, I got something written right here. Talks about sin. Sin interrupts. When sin comes in, it interrupts what in a Christian's life? It interrupts their fellowship. But confession equals what? When we confess unto God, right when we know that we've done something wrong, right there, right then, that very moment when we know that what come about out of our mouth should not have come out, but confession, restores that fellowship. See, the fellowship between God the Father and me had been broken when sin had intervened in my life. But then when I went back to the Father and I asked Him to forgive me of this sin that I just committed, then He brings the fellowship back together with the Father. But I must come in confessing. What does confessing mean? I must name that sin out. Confessing to the Father. And when we confess our sin unto the Father, then our fellowship is restored. Immediate confession. What will that bring forth? What does that equal to? Immediate confession. That is when somebody right now says, Lord, I'm sorry I thought of that. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to think about that. Lord, forgive me. For I've sinned against you. Because Satan allowed something to come into my thoughts. And in that, into that little finite mind of mine, that little small mind that I have, I allowed Satan to come in and put something in there. Immediate confession equals where we'll keep the fellowship together. It won't be broken. In the last two, talking about if it wasn't for the Lord, there would be no blessed hope to look for. Titus 1:2, in hope of that eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. The proof that God cannot and will not lie is because of the death, the burial and the resurrection of His only begotten Son. Colossians 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We need to be grounded. We need to be like that lightning rod. We know that when they come to your home and when they put the when they hook the lights up and everything, and when they put all the power lines and before they cut the power on going to the main control box and everything, what they're going to do, they're going to go out there and they're going to take a rod and they're going to drive that rod down in the ground. It used to be a 6-foot rod, now it's an 8-foot rod that they have to drive down through the ground. Why do they drive that down through the ground? If they drive it down through the ground so they can hook the ground wire to that metal star there that went down in the ground. Why? So it can be grounded. All your light switches, all your light bulbs, everything in here is grounded. This electrical will be grounded because of what? Of that lightning rod. We must be grounded in Him. And as long as we're grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're surely to be protected by Him. Surely we'll be protected by Him. In the last one, there would not be
one offered up to bear our sins. This book right here teaches us all of that. This book teaches us all of that. We cannot get all of that out of any other book. You can go to the Christian bookstore. You can go to the Lifeway bookstore. You can go to all of these bookstores that you want to. And if you do not pick out a King James Bible, and if you do not purchase that, if you purchase any other Bible, they got Bibles now for the teenagers. They got the teen Bible, the NIVs. They got the SNDs and all of that. They got all kinds of letters out here. They got the new translations out here. But they don't have everything that I just spoke to you about in there. Some of them have forgot about the blood. The blood's not even listed in some of them. The deity of Christ is not even listed in some of them. But yet, all the church leaders today and all the pastors of the church today said, well, for the people to come in, we've got to use that type of Bible so they'll come in, they can understand it and what we're saying. They will understand what you're saying. They will understand what the King James Bible says when it gets saved, and they will not understand it until the end. Just like a lost sinner. A lost sinner, he can pray all he wants to. He can ask God to bless him, to bless his family. He can ask God to touch his mother because his mother may have cancer or something like that. But if he's not saved, God has never heard anything from him. They have to go to him and repent of their sin. And they have to commit themselves unto God. And they must ask him to come into their heart and save their soul. And I think it needs to go a little further than that. And the reason for it is because we need to go all the way and say, now, after you have saved my soul, and I'm saved and I've been redeemed by the precious blood, now, I need you to be the Lord of my life. I need you to be the Lord of my life. As we ask the Lord to be the Lord of our life, he will help us each and every day. He will help us each and every day. We just get saved, but it's a little. I think we become a little closer to him when we ask him to be the Lord in our life. He sure has been closer to me since I asked him to be the Lord of my life. Not just to be my Savior. Oh, yes, he can be my Savior. But I had to go back and ask him. Now, since you saved me, I'd love for you to be the Lord of my life. And I think when we do that, it becomes personal to us as an individual. And also I believe the Lord Jesus, he said, well, I know what he wants. He wants me to help him. Will help us. We got to do it his way. We cannot do it my way.
cannot do it no other individual's way. I must do it the way the Lord said do it. Brother Brio, as you come to have communion tonight, I know that some of you, some may say, well, why are we having communion? There's not that many here. It doesn't make no difference if there's not but one individual here. We need to always have communion.
Page 251.